This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
Putin looks at Ukraine as properly belonging to Russia. He's made that clear.
Daniel Freed, former U.S. ambassador to Poland.
For his version of history, Ukraine can't exist. The Ukrainians differ. They're fighting. They're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their country.
Coming up on this episode of Target USA.
The National Security Podcast.
From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. Russia
could render huge harm to this country.
North Korea's secret missile
capable of reaching the whole of the United States.
Dangerous terrorist.
D.C. is repeatedly mentioned as someplace they would like to seek an attack.
Cyber criminals.
Decryption successful.
America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm JJ Green. On the last episode, I told you we'd be talking on this episode about whether or not Vladimir Putin would use nuclear weapons. And why or why not? Instead, something bigger has come up. Bigger than nuclear weapons, what does six more years of Vladimir Putin in power mean? I caught up with U.S. former ambassador Daniel Freed. He was the ambassador to Poland and one of the most articulate and intelligent voices anywhere in the world when it comes to what, or better said, how much damage Vladimir Putin could do to the rest of the world. What does six more years, at least, of Vladimir Putin mean for the world?
It means Russia will continue to be an aggressive country abroad, seeking to rebuild its empire, and an oppressive country at home, including murdering dissidents and political opposition. It's a mess. It's a problem for the world. And we need to take that seriously. It's not going to get better by itself.
In between Russia and all of its ambitions is this problem called Ukraine, problem to them. And it's definitely what they're doing there is a problem to the rest of the world. But I just use that term, and I don't use it loosely. Russia wanted to essentially absorb Ukraine easily and then move on to its next ambitions. But they weren't able to do that. Ukraine has found itself in a situation where it had a lot of support before. Now some of that support's going away, and even the U.S. is sitting there sort of twiddling its thumbs about what to do. How does that impact all of this for Ukraine?
Well, I'd have to unpack what you said. First of all, you're right that Putin looks at Ukraine as properly belonging to Russia. He's made that clear. I mean, go no further than his long, long interview with Tucker Carlson, where he gave this version of Russian history that eliminates Ukraine as a separate nation. For his version of history, Ukraine can't exist. The Ukrainians differ. They're fighting. They're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their country. And they have stopped Vladimir Putin. Putin, you're right again, wants to continue. It's the Russian propaganda, if you pay attention, has targeted Moldova, which was a piece of Romania they ripped away at the end of the Second World War. They are after Moldova, which is now and has been an independent country, but they're after it. And I don't doubt that if they thought they could get away with it, they would go take a piece of the Baltic countries, which have also been independent since the fall of the Soviet Union. And we never recognized their occupation by Moscow. So you're right. Putin has more adventures. He won't stop until he is stopped. But I'm not sure I agree that some of the support for Ukraine has faded. The French have gotten stronger. President Macron has talked about the need to do more for Ukraine and to take the Russian threat seriously. The Germans, despite mixed rhetoric, have done a lot. The Poles are doing a tremendous amount, and their support for Ukraine continues, even though they've got some differences with Ukraine about agriculture. The problem, and you weren't wrong to talk about a problem, is in the United States. We're the leader of the free world, and yet you have a large part of the Republican Party, including Donald Trump, who don't care about Ukraine, who are more or less on Putin's side and have said so, whether they make sophisticated strategic arguments that China is the real problem and we ought to ignore Ukraine or let Russia have it, or dumb arguments like Tucker Carlson saying that Moscow is a great country, sounds like one of the leftist idiots that used to parade to Moscow back in the 1930s. But support among what used to be the party of Ronald Reagan has slipped a lot. The Trumpites don't believe in the free world, apparently. They don't believe in support for Ukraine, and they don't believe in American leadership of the free world. They believe in carving up countries between strongmen, and the people in them be damned. That's as much as I can figure out Trump's worldview. So that's a problem. And it is shocking to me that the United States, that has led the free world and done a pretty good job of it, despite all our hypocrisies, blunders, stupidities, and my list is long, despite all of that, we've done a pretty reasonable job since 1945. And Ukraine is a place we need to keep working to help the Ukrainian people defeat one of America's foes, and to do so without sending American forces. No US boys at risk. But we need to step up, and the Congress, that is to say, the Republicans and the House of Representatives, and to be more precise, Mike Johnson, apparently under orders from Trump, is blocking assistance to people who don't want us to fight for them. They only want the tools to fight for themselves. So I'm sorry to go on at length, but you asked a serious question, and I had to unpack the answer.
I'm hopeful that all of these questions will be serious, and you are welcome to unpack at any length you'd like. I do have this question, though. What is it that needs to be done, in your opinion, to get those on board in the U.S. that haven't seemed to have figured out that letting Ukraine lose means all of Europe loses, and by extension, the U.S.? What needs to be done for those folks in the US to help them get this calculus?
Well, I don't know what key will unlock that door, but I was recently, in fact, I've been in Poland twice this year already, and I've urged the Poles, particularly the Poles, the right-wing Poles that were in the previous government that got along decently with Donald Trump. I met with a lot of them and encourage them to come to Washington and reach out to their Republican friends and the Trump people and tell them, look, we're on the right, just like you, but we believe in the free world. We believe in supporting Ukraine. We believe that Vladimir Putin is a menace. We believe in NATO. And those Polish right-wingers do believe in all of those things. They're not like the Hungarian right-wingers who seem to be on Putin's side. Now, the president of Poland was in Washington last week. He is from the Polish political right, and he met with Mike Johnson. And I imagine he did his best, and I hope he got through to Mike Johnson. But I'm encouraging anybody I can find who works with the Republicans to go over to Washington and work on them some more and explain that this is in the interest of the free world in general and the US in particular, I know the British Tories, the Conservative Party, sent a delegation to Washington recently. Some of my colleagues at the Atlantic Council supported it. So I'm doing what I can. But I tell you, I don't know what key will unlock this, but we need to keep pushing and making clear what's at stake.
One more thing, Ambassador, before I need to leave to jump on the air. When you look at where we stand right now with Vladimir Putin in power in Russia, continuing to do what he does, put into context for us how much we lose each day by having an individual like him in power, doing the kinds of things that he does each day.
Peace in Europe, security in Europe, isn't just for idealists. It's good for the American bottom line. In the post-World War II peace, Americans made lots and lots of money working with Europe. And if we want to deal effectively with the Chinese challenge, we need Europe working with us, which means we have to deal not with just the Chinese problem, but the Russia problem as well. And we may not want to deal with two problems at once, but two problems we've got, and it's not going to do any good to hide our head in the sand. The free world is a good thing to support, not because it's charity, but because it helps American interests. We figured that out for the first time 100 years ago and put it into practice in 1945, and we did awfully well. A world where values and the rule of law is generally supported is good for America. It's good for our business. Putin wants to destroy all that. He wants a closed empire. He wants repression. He wants war and chaos. We don't. The American vision of a free world-based system, we used to call it the free world, now we call it something like the rules-based order or some such. I prefer the free world. That's good for everybody, even for the Russians, although it's not very good for the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin. It's good for us. It's not charity. It's good for the bottom line.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And speaking of the danger of an individual like Vladimir Putin in charge of a country like Russia, there's Ukraine and what Ukraine is losing on a regular basis. Here's Natalia Bozyuk. She's from Odessa in Ukraine, and she's had to leave the country and move to Shannon in Ireland, a small village there, to escape the problems, the trouble, and possible death there. She talked with me about just how difficult it is to do what she's had to do. Natalia, you're from Ukraine. Tell us where you're from and tell us how the war impacted your home.
That's a hard question. Originally, I'm from Odessa, Ukraine. It's a beautiful city near the sea, and right now my family is back in Ukraine. I'm here all alone, and for sure it's impacted greatly. We are taking a lot of casualties, and the situation in the city is a bit unstable because of the threat from the sea. And I'm constantly worried about my family, about situation in the city. They're using drones, they're using bombs, and rockets. I'm just a bit nervous, and you are constantly basically living in a fear, thinking about your family, your friends, all the loved ones that right now is still in the city trying their best, working. Yeah. And it was hard to leave. I would be honest, it was really hard. And it was a rash decision because my dad is involved in the military, and he was just worried about me. So I think his first priority was to get me somewhere safety, to be in a safe place. Yeah. And it was hard to leave all your work behind, all your stuff, all your memories behind. So starting new life, it's always hard. But I think I want to return to Ukraine when the war is over. So I really like my city, and a lot of great stuff happened when I was in. So I'm planning to return.
How long have you been gone? When did you leave?
I left around the end of March 2022. I was in Romania for a few months. It's actually a pretty funny story because it was friend of the friend of the friend, and he was looking after some small cottage building in the middle of the forest for hunters in Romania. And he didn't know who I am. He didn't spoke he can't speak any English at all. So it was a bit hard to communicate, but he heard about our story that we are looking for a place to a safe place to stay for a moment. And he offered us, basically he was saying I have a small building that were used by the hunters, but you can just come in and stay for as long as you want. And we were helping with the cleaning, looking after the territory. And he didn't take any money, and he was just doing it because he wanted to help. We were staying with him for about few months, and I think around probably June of 2022, we were here in Ireland.
Were you traveling alone at that point?
I have a friend. She was with me, and because I was leaving the country and I was leaving the city, my friend, she was alone at that moment, all her family gone. And she was if you're leaving, I'm afraid to stay here on my own. So if you don't mind, I can travel with you. And I was okay, no problem. I would be happy to help you. So I think it was pretty hard for her because I knew a few words of Romanian, and I can speak with people on a basic level that I want to eat or I want to do something, but she couldn't. And she was relying 100% on me, and decision to move to Ireland was also mine, and she just followed because I think she was relying on my decisions and my opinions. So
why did you choose Ireland?
I heard a lot of great stories from other people, and I had a friend, she moved here before us, and she was you can make a difference here. You can start your education, you can basically work here. And a lot of people who supporting Ukrainians are right now here. And if we're talking about other countries, Ireland is one of the countries that took a lot of Ukrainians in. And they give us the rights, temporary protection. And they give us opportunity to to learn, to take free courses, to do our job. And I think they were pretty fair with tax rates and stuff like this. So, and I think they were pretty positive about Ukrainians in general because of the Irish history with Britain. They were like, we can't understand you guys. So yeah, a lot of support from Irish people. That's true.
Yeah. So you've been there for a while now, and are there many other Ukrainians there? Is there a community around you, or just where are you in terms of your Ukrainian brothers and sisters?
So the problem is when we arrived in June, it was already hard for Ireland to accommodate all the Ukrainian refugee. And the situation is we were for some time in like church that were accommodating refugee. And after that, they put us in a small city. Shannon is like, well, relatively small, about 8,000, I think 9,000 people. So it's pretty small city, and I think right now it's about like 200, 300 Ukrainians in it, but mostly it's old people or children. So it's a bit hard to communicate with community. And I think right now you are thinking a bit different. A lot of active community is in Dublin, Cork, Galway, bigger cities, bigger opportunities. So I think most of the stuff right now is happening in Dublin. Mm-hmm. But here we are trying our best to do something. And a lot of things are involved communicating with bigger Ukrainian communities in other cities. So,
right.
Yeah.
What do you think about the war in Ukraine at this point? I know that there's been, I know you're concerned about people in the West and the United States forgetting or turning away from Ukraine. Explain what your thoughts and your concerns are.
That's true, because right now we are here and we can hear only the news about Ukraine and about situation from our family or our friends. And at the beginning, we were thinking like it will take probably only like a few months or maybe like half of a year and the war would be over and the West will help us to stop it, because like it's uncivilized and it can't be like happening right now. So after some time, we became worried about the future and about the situation. And a lot of, we are depending on the West and the help from other countries as well, from Europe. And we keep on hearing the narrative that like, oh, we are tired of Ukrainian problems. We are struggling here also. Why should we care about Ukrainians? It's happening like somewhere. And it's kind of hard to hear, and it's kind of hard to explain to people here, like, we are actually trying our best not only to protect our country, but the country, like Europe in general, and countries that are near. And yeah, it's pretty hard. Even when I'm thinking about my family, I'm remembering the first day when the war started and that feeling. And sometimes I'm going back to it and I remember that I was completely lost. I didn't have any plans or like any solutions, like where to go, what to do. And when I'm thinking about my family, I'm thinking like, what will happen next? Like how to make my family safe, where to like, how to help. And of course, we are worried, because when you're thinking about the war, like we want to end it like as soon as possible. But there is a time after war when we need to like renovate our cities, rebuild cities. And it will take some time for sure. And even in like in this situation, we are depending on other countries to help us. And I think to navigate us in a way, because not only like people in Europe or USA are tired of war, But I think people in Ukraine are also very tired. Mm-hmm. When you can't sleep at night and then you should like go to your work at 8 a.m. and do your best just to provide for your family. And you never know what day like can be your last. I was explaining to people here, like we had a drone attack when I was at Tech Camp. Like it was, I think, 2nd of March, and a lot of like civilians died, and 5 of them were children, like small children. And to see even photos of the small children like in the ruins of the building, it was like heartbreaking. And
yeah,
I think they deserved a future, they deserved a chance. And it's just like every night, like every morning you wake up from the night or you're checking the news, like if it's my building, if it's my street, if it's my family, then yeah, it's really hard, especially like when, you know, like people are trying their best. And if we are talking about volunteers, I can say, because I'm living in a small city, we can talk about the burnouts, and we can talk about like some people are losing the point and losing the hope of helping like others. And it's sometimes it's hard to remember that like you're doing it for the great cause, and you're doing it not only for yourself but for the future of others.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really hard topic.
That's Natalia Bozhuk, a journalist from Odessa in Ukraine. She's had to move to Ireland. She's had to move like so many other Ukrainians, just to get the message out, get the word out, because it's pretty much impossible to do it in Ukraine under fire. And our hats are off to her and all the others who've left their home country to go abroad to spread the message about the need to help Ukraine. That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, whether it's Russia's war in Ukraine, the situation in Gaza, what's happening in Haiti, terrorism, anarchists, cyber criminals, or hostile nation states, we'll bring you the top story. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm JJ Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.